John Howard famously said the Prime Minister had the second most important job in Australia after the Test captain. The leadership failings in our cricket team have become all too apparent. But what about our political leadership? Does Australia have the leaders willing to say what they believe, stand for principles with courage and conviction, marshal the evidence, build support and enact? Australia's last chief scientist, Professor Ian Chubb, said no in a speech in Melbourne last week. He's worked with 8 prime ministers and 25 or so federal ministers or assistant ministers who've had the word science in their title, but he says these days they're too concerned with hanging on to their job. He joins me now. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Deborah.
How worried are you about Australia's direction?
Oh, I've been worried for a while. I think there's a sense of drift and probably even a sense of complacency. And that's not getting better, and we have to do something about it.
How concerned are you that the current political class aren't up to the job?
Well, I think a significant number of them are not up to the job. Some are, of course. I think some are very dedicated, committed people.
All sides?
All sides, yeah. And I think we get what we let happen to us. And my question basically is, how did we let it get to this and what are we going to do about it?
Is this just about political leadership or is it leadership right across the spectrum?
Well, I think it's right across the spectrum. I mean, I was quite heartened to hear on your program, indeed, a little while ago, or certainly on the ABC, an interview with the chief executive of Rio Tinto, who was making the point that business has to talk to the community over a range of issues, because otherwise, when they argue their point, people would just turn around and say, well, they would say that, wouldn't they? And we aren't really used to that. We aren't used to senior leaders, wherever in the community, standing up and saying, this is an important thing for the community to act upon, to resolve, to debate in a substantial way. And we get cliches, we get one-liners, we get, you know, vote for me or vote for us because we aren't them. You know, three-word mantras, I think, ought to be consigned to the dustbin of history.
Education and science were a pretty big focus of that speech. You point out that both are absolutely critical to forging a successful pathway for Australia, and you're concerned that not enough long-term thinking is happening and that good policy is hostage to short-term political cycles and self-interest. Mm-hmm. How is it possible to overhaul this approach?
Well, I think that we as a community have to demand a change. I mean, I don't believe that going back to the Barbie and putting another prawn on it or something is the right way to behave or useful when we think about what sort of country we're trying to build here. I mean, one of the things that I did comment on in that speech was learning about Henry Parkes and his colleagues at that time of Federation and how without a Twitter account between them or an iPhone or whatever, they managed to federate this country in what was a pretty hostile political environment at the time because states were being asked to give up something, but they persevered and they mounted an argument. They had vision. They knew how to construct a narrative. They knew how to pursue that story. They knew how to compromise appropriately, but didn't lose sight of what they wanted. And I don't think we get enough of that anymore. We get little bits here and there, of course, but we don't get enough of it. So if I were to ask, you know, what is the long-term vision for this country, I don't know that too many people would know.
Both the major parties are focused on science and education, they say. We've got fights over the Gonski education funding package, a contest over the science and innovation agenda. How would you describe those policy contests?
Well, I think that policy contest is good, but it has to be not purely oppositional for the sake of opposing. And I don't think leaders do that. I think that you hear what the other side want to do and you mount a case. I mean, when Labor introduced a policy or proposed policy recently about tax imputation, the words that we used to describe it were theft and robbery and stealing and so on. And people like me don't know whether that's a good policy or not. Lots of people don't know. I mean, there's a lot of self-interest in it, of course, but lots of people don't know. So instead of us actually being led by a serious debate about the pros and cons and so on, we get silly words thrown about. And I just think that that is not the way to run a country that you're trying to build to hand on to the next generation, something that we can look back and be proud of. As I'm sure Henry Parkes would have. Well, he would have. I don't know whether he would today, but he would have at that time.
too many people whom we rely on to lead us are not up to the job, and things won't change until we demand that the people we employ to work in our interests actually do. They're your words. How do you make that happen?
Well, again, I think it's up to us to demand it. I don't think, you know, I was really struck by the fact that at the last federal election we had a 91% turnout. 9% of people didn't vote. You know, better than close to 1.5 million people chose not to vote in a system of compulsory voting with a financial penalty if you haven't got a good reason for not voting. And they chose not to. A few hundred thousand voted informally. I mean, we've tended to switch off from the political system, yet it's critically important for the future. So they need to earn our trust. Trust is something you earn. It's not something you're simply given. And I think that they need to change, but also we need to expect more and to require that the people we employ to lead us do it.
Professor Ian Chubb, thank you for joining AM this morning.
Thanks, Abra.